You're listening to the Bliss Runner Podcast, episode number 2. This podcast is for any woman who has ever had a challenge in her sex life. Whether you've lost interest in sex in your long-term relationship, orgasms have become elusive, or you've just been longing for something more, something deeper that you can't quite even articulate, this podcast is here to help. In this show, we'll explore how you can transform your experience of sex by learning the subtle art of awakening your sexual energy. Now, this is not just woo-woo stuff. It's tangible, and it's having a profound effect on women's lives. We'll hear stories by women like you and me who've moved from lack of sexual enjoyment to incredible, expanded, ecstatic states by accessing this energy inside. We'll also talk to authors, teachers, and practitioners in the field for guidance on how you can get started on this deeply gratifying journey. I can tell you that it has completely changed my life, and I know it can enrich yours. I'm really glad you're here. Welcome back to the show, everyone. My guest today is Eyal Matzliya. He's the author of Orgasm Unleashed, Your Guide to Pleasure, Healing, and Power. Through his website, intimatepower.com, Eyal offers coaching to both men and women in sexual energy empowerment and mastery. He's a longtime student and practitioner of sacred sexuality, tantra, yoga, and meditation. I have to tell you, after my own sexual awakening began to unfold, I spent so many years reading books about sexuality to try and understand what was happening to me. I sort of started to piece things together, but nothing quite reflected back to me the experience I was having like this book. It's as if he had been watching me and then told me my own story. Welcome to the show.
Oh, wow. Thank you, darling. Can I have that in writing? That's such a beautiful description of that. Thank you for that.
I have to admit that I was a little bit skeptical before reading your book. I couldn't understand what was happening to me, and everything was so new and different, and I just couldn't really fathom that anyone other than a female could really get inside of that experience. But you completely do, and it's clear that what you're teaching is the real thing. So everyone should go out and buy your book. Anyone who has either not experienced orgasm of any kind in their life, all the way up to women who are already highly orgasmic, can benefit from reading your book.
Yeah, thank you. And that's a really good point. And I hear from women, like you said, that never had an orgasm, had issues with sex and sexuality and even talking about this. And sometimes within like one practice session, they get crazily deeply multiple orgasmic, or sometimes after a few weeks of practice. And also women who thought they were very orgasmic, and then suddenly they realize that there's so many different experiences. So it's not so much about stronger and stuff. It's more like about different colors of the rainbow. It's about different realms of orgasmic experiences.
Yes.
And it's also about what it does to a woman's life. It's not, as I'm fond of saying, sexuality is not just about sex.
I absolutely believe that's true. And that's the part that is so important to stress in all of this. It's not just about sex and titillation and, you know, a cheap thrill. It truly can transform every area of your life. And you really cannot appreciate how that can be possible until you experience it for yourself.
Totally, yeah.
So I'm hoping that we can start just by having you give us a little bit of a background. If you could tell us a little bit about how you found your way into this area of teaching other people to explore their sexual potential.
Mm. So I didn't say I want to be a sexual healer when I was a child. It's not like, you know, somebody was a designer or an artist or whatever, and they knew that from when they was a child, like my brother, for example, has been a born artist. But when I look back at my life, I can see the thread. I can see the thread that led me here. You know, and some of it was being a very, very curious, inquisitive child, and I I played with my neighbor and when I was, I think when I was five, she was four, and I found her clit. You know, so that's when I was five. And I always like, I always adored women. I always like, I don't know, maybe all boys adore women, but I really specifically adored women and played with their hair and stuff. Like I was a bit of a soft boy, you know? I just loved playing with the girls and stuff. So later I had a very intense experience of basically witnessing rape, you can say. And that led me to really vow never to treat women like that, and instead to protect them, to heal them, to empower them. So that was another very, very strong experience. It was also slightly traumatic, but you know, it's like sometimes traumas actually empower us if we are able to harness that and not to stay stuck in the trauma. Yeah, years later, I started to have like more sexual experiences, and it was always about connection. It was about not just about pleasure, not just having my needs fulfilled, but for me, every person is a universe, and every woman is a few universes. So I was having lots of little flings, and in those flings, I wasn't just interested to bed the woman, but also to have an experience with her, to have some food, to watch the sunset, to get to know her. And yes, also to explore different sexual experiences together.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered Tantra, like official Tantra. So I was practicing Tantra without knowing what it is from around 1999. In 2005, I stepped into a Tantra workshop and literally my life changed. I started practicing with my lovers, and then after some time, women start telling me, you know, it's like, you're really good at this. You should offer this as a service. This having been specific, yoni massage.
Yeah.
And I kind of like said, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not as good as my teacher. I don't have certificates. I don't have, you know, and one of my friends told me, it's like, Eyal, you're already doing it. So just admit it and just do it.
Yeah.
So that's a few stops along the way of how I became a sexual healer. So.
Well, that's a remarkable story. It's hard to imagine being exposed to the event that you witnessed as a young man and how that could have shaped you.
Mm. Yeah, the full account is on my website. It's called "How Witnessing Rape Has Led Me to Become a Sexual Healer," and we can include the link in the show notes if you'd like.
Yes, that would be wonderful. And I'd like to start next by exploring what we mean by sexual awakening. The focus of this podcast is on stories of sexual awakening. And of course, that's a challenging experience to capture by language, but we can do the best we can. I know that for myself, I like to compare, it's sort of a before and after experience. You know, the conventional sex that I experienced before this was sort of akin to, say, a two-dimensional black and white drawing,
mm-hmm.
where it's at the after is more of a, like, you know, four-dimensional technicolor mm-hmm. hologram. You know, it's completely different and rich in ways that are really hard to describe. In your book, I love the analogy that you draw. You start by talking about peak orgasms, or, you know, conventional sex as being quick and intense and the kind of thing that we're conditioned to seek, you know, in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then you describe what's a hill orgasm, which is more of a sustained state of sexual arousal and sort of general pleasure. And then you write this about the state of becoming orgasmic.
Yeah.
You say, "And then there is Tibet. Tibet is surrounded by some of the highest mountains in the world, but most of its surface is a high plateau. Yet this high plain is higher than many mountain peaks. It can take some time to get to Tibet, but once you're there, you can remain up on its plateau. While it may not be quite as high as some of the mountain peaks around you, the altitude is definitely up there. A plateau orgasm is like Tibet. It can take some time and practice to get there, but once you're there, you will experience a continuous high state of orgasm." I wonder if you could speak a little bit more about your understanding of sexual awakening and the way that you've witnessed it in some of your clients and in your own life.
Yeah, totally. And already if women are interested in this, they can press pause and go to orgasmunleashed.com. And if they don't even want to buy the book, there's a huge excerpt. There's like a 70 pages excerpt that they can download for free from the website. And I really believe in giving a lot of stuff for free. And if people want more, they can buy the book on Amazon, paperback, Kindle, anywhere. So the thing about sexual awakening is that society is juvenile. Society is childish in its attitudes towards sexuality. So everything is geared towards penetration. Everything is geared towards friction. Everything is very shallow, very on the surface. You know, size and it's a very like I say, childish way to infantile. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have another article on the Huffington Post. I can send you the link. It's called "Are We Sexually Repressed and We Don't Know It?" So what the claim that I make in this article is that we like to think that we are all sexually liberated and informed and stuff, but actually most people don't even know what's possible. And most of Western societies is sexually repressed, uninformed or misinformed. Okay, so if we specifically talk about women, so a woman would have a vibrator and she would have like 5 orgasms in the morning and she would feel like she's all sexually liberated, empowered, and independent.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm not saying that this it's kind of like bad, but like you said, it's like a black and white postcard compared to the holodeck on Star Trek or Avatar.
Yeah.
So when a woman first of all understands that there's different experiences, not just stronger experiences, but different experiences to be had. I sometimes say that when you expand your definition of orgasm, your orgasm will expand.
Yes.
And it's the same thing with everything. When you expand your definition of sex, your sex would expand. When you expand your definition of business, your business would expand, and so on. So the first, I have a structure, a process of sexual awakening that I teach people. And the first aspect of that is reflect. So we deflect, first of all, reflect, what is your sexual experience? What is your, how does your orgasm feel like and look like? What do you feel about your sexuality or other people's sexuality? Do you have any shame? Do you have any guilt? Do you have any major traumatic experiences or even minor traumatic experiences? Do you have any pains? Do you have any hang-ups around this? Okay, so
yeah.
Before you run to the toy store to the sex toy store to get a sex toy, or even before you do anything, first of all, stop and reflect. What do you feel? What do you believe? It's like, what is your experience? And the second stage on sexual empowerment is to learn and understand there's so many things that you can learn. There's 20 or 30 or 40 different kinds of orgasms and orgasmic states. There's different spots, the different practices, there's different, even verbal, it's not exactly verbal, I would say, like mental exercises that you can do in order to awaken yourself sexually. So for example, I have a practice which is called Let Your Yoni Speak, where a woman would write kind of like free form writing, left brain writing, as if your yoni is speaking through her. And that's a very important practice. And when I do this on one-to-one sexual awakening sessions, women would say the most amazing things from their yoni, from their vagina.
Yes, I can imagine.
So, it's like before the hard, fast, strong, before doing, go first into realization and go first into understanding. And then the third step of the, what I call the holistic sexual transformation model is embody. So don't just keep it at the level of theory. So embody means there are tons and tons and tons of practices in the book. I think probably more, dozen and dozen, maybe over 100 practices that you can do in order to actually embody all these ideas, in order to have many different kinds of orgasm and orgasmic experiences. Okay, and these involve different kinds of breath and sound, movement, visualization, position, touch. There's a lot that you can do. Okay, and this is so important because so many women, they even know about some practices, but they never stop to do them.
Right. You know, I wonder, in my opinion, our beliefs are one of our biggest stumbling blocks, our limiting beliefs. And I'm wondering if you know, what you find to be the most useful technique to help someone get over their limiting beliefs, or even to get over some of the stories that they tell about their own sexual past that they might get stuck in. How do you help them change those beliefs into believing that they can expand into these experiences?
Yes, so great question. I don't think I've been asked that before. The beliefs are stuff like, I'm not orgasmic, I'm missing the orgasm gene, I'm broken because I was raped, or whatever, you know, that makes me incapable of orgasm. I have trust issues, I have this, I have that, I have chronic fatigue, thus I'm not able to orgasm. I have a Christian background, thus I'm not able to orgasm. So while these might be some of these might be true that they've happened, it doesn't necessarily mean that they stop a woman from orgasming. So,
correct.
So I knew women who were like severely raped, and 6 to 12 months later, they became multi-orgasmic, emotionally open, you know, and engaged in conscious sex. So a traumatic event does not mean, so a very intense event doesn't mean that it would actually become a trauma. And again, I have full respect for the experiences that women have, and the really intense experiences that women have, but the idea is not to get stuck there. I have a whole modality which is called victimhood to freedom. Victimhood to freedom is about realizing the victim stories, the victim mindset, the victim behaviors, and going past that. So to answer the practical side of your question, I would suggest to everyone to, first of all, let go of clitoral orgasms. And there's much more about this in the book. And again, it's not bad, it's not wrong, but it's an experience that disturbs a woman and robs her of her sexual energies and sexual freedom and really all of the experiences that she can have. And instead, explore daily self-pleasuring without clitoral orgasm. So clitoral stimulation is totally okay as long as you don't actually peak. And instead, explore internal stimulation, first of all with your fingers, and then also with a penis-shaped object like a vegetable or a dildo or a wand. So this practice by itself, like if somebody asks me what is the one practice that changes women's sexuality, this is the practice. Like every single day for at least 30 days, do this for at least 10 minutes, if possible 20 or 30. And remember, this is not a pap smear. This is not, oh, you know, it's like you it's 8 a.m., you open your legs, you insert the wand, you shake it a bit for 10 minutes. No, it's about it's about seducing yourself. And I work one-on-one with clients who have sometimes issues and resistance to giving themselves the time of day. They have resistance of touching their yoni, you know, they can rub their clit because that's easy, but they don't really touch their vagina, and they have resistance to penetration.
Right.
You know, so I would ask them, do you want to have sex with a man, and do you want him to put his cock inside you? And they said, yes, I would. So why don't you make love with yourself? So the idea behind that is that it's like another meme, you know, it's like, if you want to have great sex, learn to have great sex with yourself.
I agree. Absolutely. And what you're describing is also reflective of my own experience. I had a strong limiting belief that vaginal orgasms weren't even really possible. I thought they were sort of a myth because I'd never actually met anybody, at least in our conversations, it never was revealed that they'd been able to have vaginal orgasms without additional clitoral stimulation. So, you know, for well into my late 40s, I didn't think it was even possible. And then I sort of had to try on the idea mentally first that it was possible. I listened to podcasts and read material, you know, about the reality of them, and then did the self-pleasuring exercises that I just decided to do, and sort of accidentally happened into a vaginal orgasm one day, just actually turned into three. So that was the other limiting belief, is I didn't really believe multiple orgasms were possible, because I'd only ever had the, you know, one and you're done clitoral orgasm.
One and you're done.
Yeah, one and you're done. But so, yeah, that one day just completely changed things for me. Not only did I have the physical experience, but having the physical experience of the vaginal orgasms and the multiple orgasms changed, like busted open my belief system. It made me realize how much more was possible, and that, you know, not only was I completely capable of this, but everyone was. You know, it just really changed my view of everything. So
let me contribute the next tip, if I may.
Yeah.
So one of the things that you know, it's like I keep doing these practices and keep, you know, doing conscious lovemaking and sexual healing sessions and so on. And there's even like more realizations that I had since completing the book a year and a half ago. And one of them is that vaginal orgasms are great and I fully recommend them. But some women get hung up on that as well, women and men, obviously. Mm-hmm. And they get hung up on penetration. They get hung up on stimulation, friction, size, and so on.
And yeah,
while I totally believe in you know, advocate penetrative sex, and I think that's great, there's also experiences which are non-genital and sometimes not even touch based. So I sometimes have Skype sessions with women where I bring them to orgasm just through my presence and my voice and guiding them into certain kind of breath, movement, sounds, visualization, and so on.
So yes,
even without me touching them or them even touching themselves, they can go into a very, very, very deep orgasmic state. And notice that I keep always using the term orgasmic state rather than orgasm, because orgasm is state, is not a moment.
Right.
So women can actually have, women, by the way, and men also have orgasmic capabilities, but we're kind of like focusing more on women. So women can have mind-blowing orgasmic experiences even with somebody who's not physically present there. And once they change their limiting beliefs around that, they can have the same experiences with the man present, but without him having to do too much.
Yes.
So
yes.
I've recently, a few weeks ago, I've presented at the auditorium in the Byron Taste of Love Festival, Byron, Australia. So mm-hmm. I had a woman on the massage table, a friend of mine, a colleague, and I've hardly touched her. I didn't touch her genitals. You know, I just did really simple stuff, really simple movements, which I explained to the audience. Because for me, it's all about sharing all of your secrets and teaching people how to do that. And through that, she was in a 1 hour orgasmic state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wasn't stimulating her G-spot. I wasn't stimulating her cervix, but she was crying and shouting and moaning and holding for dear life.
Yeah. You're right. It's absolutely possible to enter these states with just on your own.
Exactly. And I would say that every woman can experience this. You know, it's like I meet so many women who thought, you know, it's like that they would not be able to orgasm, and it really is possible. And even women who had, you know, it's like their uterus removed and their cervix removed and stuff, and they're multi orgasmic, you know. So some women have this story, you know, that I got my bits removed so I can't have an orgasm, but that's not true. There's such a terrain, there's such a universe, there's such a universe of orgasmic experiences that one can have. And also to add to what I was saying earlier, it's like I teach women how to have that them. So in the beginning, I am the facilitator. I am the instigator of that orgasmic state. But I'm teaching them how to do that by themselves and also to do it with a man who's not necessarily practiced in Tantra. So
right.
It's all about sharing the ideas and sharing the practices that empower people. So I don't want anybody to be dependent on me to get off. I don't provide a sexual service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I provide an empowering service. And this is really what sexual educators need to do. And I have another piece called My Vision for a Conscious Sex Industry. And it's about sexual educators teaching their clients how to have their own experience.
Yes. Can you share a particularly interesting story of awakening of one of your clients?
Yes. Yes. Let me. So much to choose from. Yes. So an English woman, and you know, it's like the moment I say English, there's already all the cultural baggage, Puritanism, issues with sex and sexuality. You know, so all of these mindsets around sex in England. And this woman came to me and we walked over Skype. Single mom, 30-something, generally attractive, but not feeling that she's really connected to her femininity, not believing in her beauty, not believing in her power, disinterested in sex, always like losing libido, not having so much libido, obviously not orgasmic. So within 4 to 6 weeks of practice, so it's a lot of her own practice that I've guided her in, and some Skype sessions where I guided her into like I said, these orgasmic states. She became so sexual that she can't sleep at night. So she's having orgasms without trying to. She's trying to sleep, and she basically has really, really intense orgasmic states. She says that she feels like a bunny on heat. Okay, so suddenly the quality of her so she attracted a new partner. She's having the best sex in her life. She's very easily orgasmic, and I mean the real meaningful deep orgasms and orgasmic states. Obviously, vaginal orgasms and so on. But it's not just about the orgasm. Her well-being has improved. Okay, her levels of joy and satisfaction and contentment with life has improved. Her ability to share her gift and to serve people has improved. So the work that I'm doing with women is about their sexuality, creativity, and business, because all of these areas are connected. So she's really, really, you know, feeling the benefits of this practice, the benefits of this approach. And this is just one of many, 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 many such experiences that I can share. That there's 60-something year old women, you know, the thought that their sex life is gone and done and dusted and will never come back. And again, they became crazily deeply multi-orgasmic and started to have a very deep sex life. Really, the stuff works.
Yes. Well, it's such a beautiful gift that you're giving to all of these women to help them reach this place.
I love my job. What can I say?
I wonder if you would tell us a little bit about your own before and after. If there was a before and after for you in terms of experiencing sex from a conventional standpoint, and you mentioned that when you started to study Tantra, your life changed, and I'm wondering if that was your before and after awakening moment, or is there a story that you can share with us?
I probably have multiple before and after, because my life is very characterized by constant growth, constant striving, constant evolution. So if you're aware of the six human needs according to human need psychology, growth is one of my biggest ones. So every few years I would have kind of like my experience would change. But I'm happy to share a few of them. So around 99, I started practicing what later I realized was Tantra. So I became aware of the point of no return. I had a steady partner with a very, you know, amazing sex drive. And we started going for longer and longer and longer and longer sexual sessions. So I started controlling my ejaculation from around 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And then I clearly remember this one time that I had an orgasm that literally was white light sweeping all of me from my toes to the tip of my head and beyond that. And I was just light and energy. And I realized I haven't orgasmed. I haven't ejaculated.
Mm.
And for me, this was like an aha moment. I was like, wow. And even I remember specifically with this woman, I was smoking weed at the time. And as a man who was very much in his mind, not so much in his body, weed really brought me into my body. And I started having this whole body orgasmic experiences where every cell of my body would pulse. Everything mm-hmm. would be tingling. Everything, there was like pleasure everywhere. And sometimes even without penetration, just from hugging, just from making out, the pleasure would be so intense. And so different, you know, because so many men, their pleasure is totally focused on the tip of their cock. And they are focusing on the woman's vagina and breasts. And you know, that's the only focus that they have. So that's kind of like one major experience that I had. Another major experience that I had was when I started practicing Tantra and I consciously chose to stop ejaculating. So mm-hmm. for the first 8 years, I had accidents here and there and wet dreams here and there and so on. But I did not, how can I say this in English? I'm not a native speaker. I did not choose to ejaculate for 8 years. Sorry, I chose not to ejaculate with a woman for 8 years, or not to masturbate and ejaculate for 8 years.
Yeah.
So this is a life-changing practice for a man. When a man lets go of the juvenile teenager infatuation with semen, you know, because when we start ejaculating, it's like, ah, it's like a whole exploration of this, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So I've let go of that when I was, what was it, 30 or something like that. And that changed my life, and that changed my experience with women, because when a woman has sex with a man who's not ejaculating, his whole focus is different. Because most men are focused on the point that they will come. So everything is geared towards the top, the peak, the resolution. And when a man doesn't have that, the whole experience becomes orgasmic. The whole experience becomes meaningful.
Yeah.
So I can hold a woman's waists, and I have pleasure in my hand from holding a woman's waist.
Yeah. I understand that from my point of view. I've experienced the pleasure of touching my partner in my hands. However, I find myself still stuck thinking that he's not enjoying himself unless he's reaching, you know, getting close to that peak orgasm. It's funny how I have this double standard, and I'm working on that. But
so I'll share something with that. You know, it's like I work primarily with women, but I also have some stuff for men, and one of them is a ejaculation control program. And again, go to my website intimatepower.com, and there's a free version of the program. You can check that out, and it's really about teaching men a step by step process. Not just to control their ejaculation and last longer, but turn their sexual energy into life energy, into creative energy, into relationship energy, into business energy. You know, so really, it's much more about just lasting longer. And one of the things that I have in the program is a video for women, who are the partners of the men practicing. And in that video for women, I explain to them why they should support their man in their practice and why a man ejaculating doesn't actually serve them.
Mm-hmm.
So again, all of the stuff that I teach, I don't just say, it's written in the Kama Sutra, it's written in the Bhagavad Gita, it's written in whatever. I build on people's own experiences. So I would ask, how do you feel when your partner ejaculated? So yes, you are happy that he had some pleasure, but usually, you know, he loses his erection and he falls asleep and he's mentally a little bit, you know, unclear. And maybe you feel a slight disconnection, that he's disconnected from you. A moment ago, he was so much into you, like literally into you and so much connected to you. And the moment after he ejaculates, he's disconnected. And so many women say this, that they feel used, they feel betrayed, they feel sad because of this disconnection.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, I think it's quite obvious to say that it robs a man of his life energy. So instead, I teach women to support men in this practice and also to appreciate the other aspects of pleasure and the other aspects of sex. So can I share a small experience I had the other day?
Please.
Because for me, it's always about, again, I don't want to like share some whatever ideas from some tantric text that was written, you know, 4,000 years ago. But for me, it's about the human experience. So I was with this new lover, and she was, you know, having hours and hours of orgasms, but she said, yeah, but I felt like you were not having enough of your pleasure, it was only about my pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And I get really poetic when I make love, and I started telling her about all of the things that I was enjoying and pleasured by. So first of all, I had physical pleasure, but sometimes I would choose not to express it. Otherwise, it would get me too close to the point of no return. But inside my body, I had tons of pleasure. For me, witnessing a woman in an orgasmic state, moaning and crying and shouting and you know, squeezing my hand and squeezing the bed sheets and ripping the bed sheets and so on, that is intensely pleasurable for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the witnessing of it, but I am riding her sexual energy. So it's like wave surfing. So she's on an orgasmic wave and I'm there with her. So I'm feeling that energy in my body. For me, it's the pleasure of holding space for somebody. It's the energy of my mind becoming clear. So I've been practicing meditation for around 25 years and done, you know, 10 days meditation retreat, 17 days meditation retreat, meditations in the dark. Whatever you name it, I've done it, you know, Vipassana, all of this other stuff. I've done that. But when I have the sexual experiences, my mind goes blank like it doesn't do after 10 days meditation retreat. So for me, my mind being blank is a blissful experience.
Yeah.
So yeah, and there's even more like aspects to this pleasure. So trust me, woman, it's like I'm having so much pleasure. And yeah, sometimes the next day, you know, we had sex and again, then I was shouting and screaming and writhing and convulsing and stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of different kinds of pleasure, but people are just focused on the shell, on the physical, and I would say expand your mind, people.
Yes. Well, that's beautiful. I love the analogy of surfing the wave. So connected.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting close to the end of our time, and I was wondering if you might be able to share a couple of thoughts on what you believe are the most important things that a woman can do to prepare herself to embark on a path of sexual awakening.
I might repeat what I said earlier. So orgasmunleashed.com, or get the book from Amazon, and focus on 30 days of self-pleasuring without clitoral stimulation. Giveaway throw away your vibrator. So that's one thing that I would suggest. So I'm creating something called the Real Sexual Revolution Movement. So this is a social movement which is about educating people and empowering people to have these sexual but also life transformations. So I will share with you the link to that as well. So really, it's about people taking action. This is not a theory. This is not a philosophy.
Yeah. Okay,
so really, it's about taking action. I would also say become aware of all of the ways where you're keeping yourself small and hidden and not shining, and allow yourself to shine. Sound and voice are really a really big part of that. So invariably, yeah, whenever I'm in any kind of, you know, sexual healing or sexual experience with a woman, I would open her mouth. I would either ask her to open her mouth if it's over Skype or physically open her mouth. So women are stuck in their throat chakra,
yeah,
Vishuddha chakra, and that's very much related to women not able to stand for their own and express their needs and emotions and ideas and so on. So,
absolutely.
So the throat is connected to the yoni. So really make a sound. And if there's anybody who wants more specific guidance with that, I'm happy to have a 15-minute chat for free and just explore some possibilities. So that's also through my website.
I urge everybody to go to Eyal's website and look at all of the possible ways that you can work with him or learn from him. You will not regret it.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, I will certainly be spreading the word for you and sending as many people your way as I can.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, love. And thank you for the work that you do, because you're not many women would want to even have this conversation, and not many podcasters would want, because, you know, it's like, oh, here's another man thinking that he knows what he's talking about. So by you giving voice to this, you're standing up for these ideas, you're supporting these ideas, and I really, really appreciate that, because it's only through people like you that this work spreads. I cannot spread this work, you know, going from person to person. So thank you for that.
Well, it's absolutely my pleasure. Mm. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I wish you all the best in everything that you do.
Mm, thank you very much, and the same to you.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this interview with Eyal as much as I did. If you'd like to see the show notes for this episode, head over to my website at www.blissrunner.com/podcast, episode 2. While you're there, pick up a free copy of my downloadable MP3 recording. It's the meditation that I used that started my own sexual awakening, and I want you to have it for free. Next week, I'll be interviewing Helena Nista. She's a remarkable young woman who's had an experience of sexual awakening, and I think that her story will be very relatable to a lot of women. So until then, I remain blissfully yours.